Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm chatting with Dani Dubray about her novel, Whore of Madness. But before we dive into her book, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Dani. She's a very private person. She lives a quiet, withdrawn life not far from the New Orleans area and speaks to her publisher primarily via a publisher-provided telephone, and I think they've only recently met. Although Dani has an immense regard for her readers, she has no desire for personal recognition and will not entertain personal appearances or book signings. Dani's major in college was political science, which became a 35-year study of political power and the evil machinations that drive it, which she encapsulates in her novels, which are within the thriller genre. She has interviewed countless numbers of defectors from Soviet Russia, Cuba, Vietnam, freedom fighters from Hungary, Afghanistan, and Nicaragua, and those formerly within the echelon of intelligence services. What drives Dani is her writing and an absolutely sincere wish that her stories of love, loyalty, and the value of human life, along with their opposing forces of hate, deceit, and the demonic manipulation and seizure of the human spirit, will provide her readers with a degree of enjoyment, along with the desire to learn and ultimately recognize the inherent manipulation that accompanies power. To quote her quote of Lord Acton, who wrote in 1887, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." Dani actually withheld the release of her book, Whore of Madness, as she patiently waited confirmation of what she perceived was the hoax of the century, and which was confirmed during the last 6 months of 2006 as her novel reveals. Dani, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gail. It's such a pleasure and honor to speak with you.
Well, it is great to have you with us today. Now, as we get underway here, your book is a heavy book. It's a great thriller. It's also filled with wonderful love stories as well as powerful descriptions of deceit and
manipulation.
Absolutely. And so I would like for you, if you would, please share with the audience the essence of your book.
Okay, I wrote Whore of Madness, which takes place just before the fall of the Soviet Union in 1988. And the two main characters, Svetlana, who's a very beautiful young Russian, and Ken Godwin, a powerful and wealthy American, fall in love in Berlin in 1961, which is done as a flashback in the book. Svetlana and her father are caught up in a conspiracy to free a scientist who's been working on a synthetic fuel process that will tip the balance of power. And, of course, the rest of the book comes back into the 1988 period, and Svetlana's superiors send her to surveil this Ken Godson because they know that she has a better chance of delving into his life, and primarily because they want that alternative fuel process.
Well, that's right. There are many parts of this that deal with the pursuit of oil.
That's right. That's right. That's at the heart of this story, and as you mentioned, I wrote it and completed it around 1995 and knew perfectly well that a publisher wouldn't touch it because of the storyline. I'm presenting the position that so-called collapse was just that. It was a so-called collapse. It really was to fool the West, and nobody wanted to hear that. So I held on to it in the belief that at some point in time, hopefully in my lifetime, that the truth would be confirmed, at least the truth as I perceive.
Right, right. And you know, so you held on to your book for over 10 years before releasing it.
That's right.
Wow, wow. Okay, and so the hoax of the century was, in your opinion, and especially as in your story, I should say, the hoax of the century in your story, is that the so-called collapse of the Soviet Empire is a hoax.
That's right. As I view it, and I can only write about what I view and know and understand, if the Soviets could make the naive West believe that they and their KGB apparatus turned away from communism and terror and subversion than the West would pour billions of dollars into their country. I mean, that's how I viewed it. The Russians accepted money and technology from the West, and it was 2 years after this so-called collapse that they took this money to develop the oil and gas reserves, which, of course, I had put into the book, and they did this on Sakhalin Island, just off the eastern coast of Russia.
Oh, okay. Now you've done a lot of research. You
yes.
did a lot of research to produce this book,
right? And I still do a lot of research, particularly as concerns the confirmations that you mentioned, which began occurring in late fall of last year, and they continue. Each week seems to provide from Russia even more confirmation of what I've written about.
Now, Danny, how are you privy to all this information?
Well, you know, some people have said I had an inside track, and no, I didn't, and I don't. I don't have any access to intelligence of any kind. But, you know, it's almost like saying, you know, I'm a woman, I have my intuition, let's say, and with all the history that I've studied and all the information politically that I've come across, it's almost like a big puzzle. And all these pieces I've put together that, to me, form a picture, the one I write about.
Oh, okay, I get that. And now your book is not just about all of this subterfuge. It does involve a deep love story, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's what propels Svetlana, although she's torn, emotionally torn, in her love-hate regard for Ken Godwin. Ken, of course, has spent his life in total turmoil emotionally because he feels that he was responsible for her death in 1961. He doesn't know that she survived.
So they have a past.
Well, they do indeed, from 1961. Very short-lived, but very powerful.
Ah, how intriguing. That's wonderful. Well, Danny, how does your novel, the real question is, what does your novel suggest about present-day politics?
Well, the essence of politics, as one French diplomat said, is lie and deny. And the truth of the matter is, I don't really think anything has changed over the course of probably the last 100 years. When Russia came into power through their revolution in 1917, and the fact that we have been in confrontation with them, aside from the 6 years that they allied with us to get what we could give them to defend themselves against Nazi Germany, and as soon as the Second World War ended, they went back to being our enemy in what was known as the Cold War. We had confrontations with them after that, not only through their support of the Vietnamese and North Vietnamese in Vietnam conflict, but also you'll remember that big conflict with them providing missiles to Cuba, to Fidel Castro, which almost brought us to the brink of World War III. As luck would have it, the Soviets wound up with their own Vietnam, which was in Afghanistan. And that's when I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of those Mujahideen.
In fact, you've actually interviewed a lot of former KGB people among, you know, I mentioned in your bio all the different people that you've actually been able to interact with. How did you gain access to them, and how did you gain enough of their trust to be able to get them to reveal to you information that fed your novel?
Well, I told them quite honestly where I was coming from, that I was a history major. I was, and continue to be, totally enthralled with history and politics, and that I essentially do not believe that people wake up in the morning saying, who can I hate today? Other than the leaders of the countries who are out for power and greed.
And I doubt seriously they're waking up every morning saying, who can I hate today? But maybe more like, you know, where can I gain more power today?
That's exactly right, which is true to the Machiavellian mentality in The Prince. And every despot in the world since the 13th century has read Machiavelli, all the way through Napoleon and Hitler and Pol Pot and all of them that I mean, I'm even sure that Hugo Chavez has read The Prince.
So that was sort of their emulator.
That's right. It has one belief, that the end justifies the means. They don't care who they say they annihilate. We saw that with Germany. We saw it in Russia with the slaughter of over 6 million kulaks that produced their wheat. Stalin was so maniacal in his power, a craving for power, that he didn't care who he did destroy, even when it meant he killed off his producers in the bread basket.
Rather short-sighted, wasn't it?
Yes, to say the least.
And I spoke incorrectly. Not emulator, but who they were emulating.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But it doesn't stop. And you know, when I referenced that axiom, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. The reality to me, when I stop and think about that statement, is that how can we repeat history unless there's some guidebook or some instruction manual? And I believe that prince is the guidebook. And those of us who ignore what has in fact happened in history, overlook the essence of what drives these power-mad maniacs, and that's why we keep repeating it.
Well, you know, the good news is that that's not the only role model we have out there, thank goodness.
Yes, right, thank God.
And so, now, you know, Danny, also, as people become intrigued and buy your book and read your book, what do you want them to come away understanding?
I'd like them to understand that the game of move and counter-move within present-day politics is really no different than it's been over the last, you know, couple of centuries. It's as if there is a concealed agenda, as I mentioned before. You know, we trade with those who act as our enemies. We give them billions of dollars in technology, and still they defy it. So we have to ask why. Well, my book and the books that I write address that why. And it's a very simple, you know, to me it's a very simple picture of that puzzle with all of its pieces.
Well, and as a matter of fact, this is not your only novel, is it?
No, it's not.
And even though you really wrote this about 12 years ago and put it on the shelf, you have some others out there, don't you?
Yes, I don't have them out yet. I think that my publisher is going to look at producing them probably in another year or so after they give Whore of Madness a chance to run. One book deals with the Hungarian Revolution in 1956, which is chock full of realities that I don't think many people are aware of. And then I write about the new axis of evil, as I call it, which is that Hugo Chavez, Morales in South America, and the return of Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua, along with the Castro brothers. They have literally encircled the United States. Because if anyone remembers, last fall, Hugo Chavez went to see Putin in Russia, where he bought several millions of dollars worth of missiles. Then he went and saw Ahmadinejad in Iran. And then he went and visited the Castro boys. And then he went to Morales and Daniel Ortega. But he also went to North Korea. Now, this man has something up his sleeve. He also is a very significant oil producer. Wouldn't it be amazing if all these people who are involved in oil had the rug pulled from under them with the synthetic fuel process?
Well, I would sure hate to see that happen, because you know who will suffer. It'll be all the rest of us.
No, if our synthetic fuel process, which does exist and has existed since 1929, is released in the marketplace, who's going to need oil?
Well, what I was referring to was the notion of having a rug pulled out from under those involved in the energy business. I think there's a great opportunity in the alternative fuel arena, and I think it's long past time for that to be highly cultivated.
Oh, I agree with you, but when I meant the rug pulled out, I'm not talking about American oil producers. they're the ones who have, in my understanding, access to the alternative fuel project. That was created here in this country in 1929.
Right, but there are also those in the arena, in the energy arena, who are collaborating with the global energy process.
Oh, absolutely, sure. But to me, of course, I'm not a rocket scientist when it comes to, development of alternative fuels as they're being proposed with corn. We already have heard that with the exploration into corn as an oil, that it's already hiked the price of corn. Even the people who rely on it, like Mexico, and can't make their tortillas, are screaming about how high it's getting. And what else are they going to go after? And how can they really control the manufacture, or the production, rather, of natural growth products, considering the weather? I mean, nobody can control and harness the weather.
No, that's very true. Well, Danny, we're getting close to being out of time here. But before we wrap things up here, I just want to reiterate the fact that you're not, though they're written in thriller genre as novels, there's so much factual information that you have researched and incorporated in your books. And you do not personally have a website, but you refer listeners and readers to a website. Would you please reveal that?
Yes, that is firstworkspublishing.us, which is my publisher's website.
And can they keep up with your books, the one that's already out, Horror of Madness, as well as those that are coming out?
Yes, ma'am. That's already up on their website.
Fabulous, fabulous. Well, Danny, I want to thank you for taking time to join me today. Your book sounds like a wonderful book of intrigue and mystery and romance.
Well, I wrote it as a sizzler, Gail.
It sounds like you've accomplished that objective, my dear. And I want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much. As I said, it is an honor, and I very much appreciate your interest in all that you're doing to let people know about Horror of Madness.
Well, I do want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen. This interview is going to be posted on Danny DuBray's author's page. That's D-U-B-R-E. D-U-B as in boy, R-E. We'll have her author's page on InsideScoopLive.com, where this interview will be posted, and her publisher's website will have a link to this interview. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and buy this book for your own enjoyment as well as for a gift. Danny, again, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Gail.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye-bye.